This sermon is presented by Agape Chapel Ministries and can be downloaded for free at sounddoctrine.net. That's SOUNDDOCTRINE.net.
I'm today talking about repentance. Okay. It's not a very exhaustive sermon. The Bible talks so much about repentance and turning from sin. But this is going to be kind of a shorter sermon. So, but the focus is that I want to spend just a little time, just as a reminder, exhortation, and an encouragement to each of us. When I ask, well, what is repentance? Anybody? What is the basic meaning of repentance? Does anybody have an answer? Pardon? Going the opposite direction. It has to do with turning around. In this case, turning from sin to God. But also, the meaning also includes the sorrow that we have for sin, changing one's mind, seeing our sin for what it is. As you remember, you know, we all know here in our fellowship that we understand that before we come to Christ, before God regenerates us, we're all enjoying our sin, loving this world. So it's impossible for a person to repent on his own because it's not in our nature to repent, right? Because we love our sin so much. But once God regenerates us, then He brings us to repentance, and that's what I'm going to get to in this sermon. And we see that through the Word of God, if we remember, Nick was teaching not too long ago on overcoming sexual temptation, and he talked about how David had sinned with Bathsheba, and how the prophet, I believe it was Samuel, who approached him and told him a story about someone who had killed the one little ewe lamb that the man had that he loved so dearly, even though he had so many sheep of his own. And then David was furious about that. But then the prophet told him, well, that man is you. Once he said that, and God opened his eyes to see his own sin, how he had sinned taking Uriah's wife. And then from that point, David repented. So we need to hear the Word of God in order to bring us to repentance. Now, going back to our natural state, before we didn't care or see sin as sin in our natural state, but we rather enjoyed it. We were lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll look at verses 1 through 5. It says, Paul is speaking here, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. So here we are, rather not only just lovers of pleasures, what we were, but also look at the whole list. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, and lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. So all these things being against God, those are the things that we loved in our flesh, in our natural state. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. This is just to remind us where we're coming from. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we're going to see as we go further on how God works to grant us and bring us to repentance. Now, who needs to repent? Is it just maybe just a few of us, just believers only, or maybe just unbelievers only, or every human being is commanded to repent, even though we know that only few will, only those who are regenerated will actually repent. But the Bible commands all men to repent. If we look at Matthew chapter 4, let's turn to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now here at this time, there was no, when Jesus began to preach, there was no church, no, you know, Christians at that time. No one believed in Jesus to be the Lord or anything like that. So here he's preaching to unbelievers, preaching to everyone, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Okay, that was the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. We know there's some teaching that sometimes go around that we, you know, repentance doesn't need to be preached, you know, in the gospel. But we see how Jesus preached repentance right off the bat, right from the beginning. So also, we Christians must continually repent, not only unbelievers. Unbelievers are commanded to repent, but Christians, even though we are saved, we still live in this flesh, so we must continually be mindful of our sinfulness and continue to repent. Because we live in this flesh, in this world, and we can fall. Turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Actually, let's look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 first, where it says, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." So we are still sinners. We still do have sin in our lives. But the encouragement here is, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Okay, so we do have sin, but we also have a way of being cleansed from that sin. But the unbelievers cannot be cleansed from their sin, because they are not regenerated. They don't have a new heart. 2 Timothy chapter 2, read verse 9. I'm sorry, 19. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So as Christians, and especially we see in our community, we have to be careful. We have to walk very carefully and be so that we're not committing sin. We need to be repenting every day and make sure that otherwise we can cause others to blaspheme God. So it says here, "For let everyone who names the name of Christ," being Christians, people who go to church, "let them depart from iniquity." So this is not just for those sinners out there. This is for us in here. Those who name the name of Christ must repent, just as the people of Israel were commanded to repent in the Old Testament. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel chapter 14. We're going to see a lot of scriptures from Ezekiel today. Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 6 through 8. "Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent, turn away from your idols, and turn your faces away from all your abominations. For anyone of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwell in Israel, who separates himself from me and sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, then comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. I will set my face against that man and make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. You see how seriously the scriptures deal with sin and how we have to take repentance very seriously. So God says that he will set his face against that man, the one who doesn't repent, the one who continues in his iniquity and idolatry, okay, and yet comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning God. So we can't go out and continue in our sins and come in and pretend to be Christians. Okay. So God explicitly commands the Israelites to turn away from their idols, to repent, turn your faces away from all their abominations. And of course this applies to us also. We need to look at ourselves and see what abominations we committed. Now why repent? Why do we need to repent? Well, because of our sins, we will die, but if we repent, we shall live. Let's look at another chapter in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel 18, verse 20 through 21. It says, the soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. But if a wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed, keeps all my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him, because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. So we are, again, commanded to turn from our wickedness. Otherwise, we will die. Because of sin, we will die. As Romans 6:23, we know says that the wages of sin is death. Well, because God will judge man according to his sins unless they repent. Ezekiel 18, go to verse 30 through 32. Same chapter, verse 30. Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. So God desires all of us to turn so that we may have life, and God will give life, as he says for those who repent. And cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Where do we get the new heart and new spirit from? That all comes from God. It's nothing we can do on our own. Okay. Luke 13, chapter 3. Luke 13, chapter 3. Here's Jesus speaking. Let's start at verse 1. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So all must repent. No one here is worse than others. There's no one out there that's worse sinners than we are, too. Without repentance, you will all likewise perish. How does one repent? Well, first of all, we need to see how bad our sins are. And with great sorrow, we need to turn from our sin to God. Now, we know that this happens because God is already working in our hearts. It doesn't happen to someone who God is not regenerated. Okay? So, as God regenerates a person's heart, that person will sometimes see how bad their sins are, and they'll have great sorrow and turn from their sin to God. Let's turn to Joel, chapter 2, verse 12. Joel 2:12. Joel is a little book right after Daniel. And chapter 2, verse 12. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart, and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Okay, so here we have the exhortation to repent, and we also have the great encouragement of how gracious and merciful God is, and how he is slow to anger, and of great kindness. So why wouldn't we want to repent if we knew that, knowing this and seeing how bad our sins are? It says, so rend your heart. The word rend basically means to tear. Because in the Jewish way of doing things, in the way of repentance, they would tear their clothing. But God looks at the heart, so God says, so rend your heart. Let your heart be broken and crushed. That's why it says, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So we're to have sorrow for our sins. And since God sees the heart, and he knows whether repentance is true or not, if we're not serious, then repentance is not genuine, and we will go on in our sins. But if our repentance is genuine, it will be seen, of course, not only by God, because God sees our heart, and he's the one who granted us that repentance to begin with. If our repentance is genuine, it will also be seen by our peers in the world, and because of it, suffering will come. Okay, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. So in repentance, we're going to stop doing the things that we were doing with our old friends, stop going to places where they go, and they're going to wonder, why are you doing that? They're going to, as it says here in 1 Peter chapter 4, let's read verse 1 through 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in the lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. But it also says in verse 5, they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. So here we have, we all have our old friends that we used to hang out with before we were Christians. Maybe even now still there's some. But are we doing what our friends, our unbelieving friends are doing? Are we partying? Are we running with them in the lewdness and lust and drunkenness and revelries and other things like that? It says here, we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. So in other words, that's it, no more. Okay. And it says also, and just above that, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. Okay, we're also going to suffer because of as we repent, our past friends and things are not going to enjoy our company anymore. they're going to speak evil of us, as it says in verse 4. They're going to scoff at us, laugh at us, things like that. It's not always easy. Okay, it says, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. And basically that means once you cease from sin, you will suffer in the flesh at the hands of your old friends and so forth. Okay. Now also, we must bear fruits that show repentance. Okay. Look at Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. Matthew chapter 3, okay, verse 7 through 10. But when he saw many of the Pharisees, this is John the Baptist, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Okay. So here the Sadducees and Pharisees were coming to be baptized. But why were they coming to be baptized? They weren't truly repentant. I figure it must have been something for religious appearances' sake that they come to be baptized. But John the Baptist says, you know, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. So it's as if to say he would not baptize them unless they had repented and show that the fruits of the repentance. Like, in like manner, we cannot really come to Christ or come to call ourselves Christians even unless we have shown that we have repented. You know, we need to know in our own heart, that we have repented. Also, as I mentioned before, we need the Word of God daily to keep us from sin. Okay. We remember in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. What does God command Joshua? Joshua chapter 1 verses 7 through 8. God is telling Joshua, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. And do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." So, and this is an area that many Christians are very weak in, myself included, that reading the Bible, studying the Bible every day. That's also part of abiding in Christ. As we abide in Christ, we will not walk in sin, but we'll be walking in light. Okay, so we need to read and study the Bible every day as an exhortation to each one of us. So. Psalm 119. Let's start with verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Okay? So we can cleanse our way, we can keep free from sin by taking heed according to the Word of God, as it says here. Okay? Can we say, how many people can say, "With my whole heart I have sought you"? It's not something that very, very many people can say. how difficult it is to seek God with your whole heart, because we have so many things going on. And, oh, let me not wander from your commandments. But yet we still do. We do it oftentimes. But the important thing here is, your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So hiding the word in your heart, call it, you know, memorizing the word and meditating on it day and night. I mean, doing that will help us to keep from sin. As we know the word of God and love it, we will hate our sins. Let's turn to the same Psalm 119. Go all the way to verse 127. As we come to know the word of God and we begin to love it, we will begin to hate our sins. So verse 127 of Psalm 118. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. Okay? Because of loving the word. Now, another important point. As I mentioned earlier, of course, we cannot come to repentance on our own. God is the one who leads us to repentance and grants us repentance. Okay? We should always be ever grateful that God graciously grants us repentance, or otherwise we would continue to be dead in sin. Okay? We cannot see our sinfulness, or we cannot have a desire to turn from it if God does not first regenerate us, giving us a new life. Without that, our desire is still to sin. We go back to Ezekiel chapter 11. Let's start with verse 19. Verse 19 and 20. It says, the Lord speaking, then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Okay? So God is the one who gives a new life, by gives a new heart, takes away the stony heart, and gives a heart of flesh. Okay? So that we may walk according to his will, walk in his statutes, and keep his judgment, and do them. And without God working in our lives, we cannot not do any of that. Remember that in our sinful nature, before regeneration, we are dead in sins, and we love our sins, and not God. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I think I read this earlier. I'll read it one more time. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Okay. Just as a reminder, I did read this earlier. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. And also in Ephesians chapter 2, we're just looking again at how we were before, prior to regeneration. Ephesians chapter 2, we'll read verse 1 through 6. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So here we see how we once were, and here we can give God glory and praise for how he has operated to give us salvation. Now why does God give us a new light and grant us repentance. Let's go, we'll go back to Ezekiel one more time. Ezekiel chapter 36. And I'll read a little bit longer passage here from verse 16, starting at verse 16 through 32. And we're looking at why does God grant us repentance here. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own ways and deeds. To me their way was like the uncleanness of a woman in her customary impurity. Therefore I poured out my fury on them for the blood they had shed on the land and for their idols with which they had defiled it. So I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the countries. I judged them according to their ways and their deeds. When they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said of them, These are the people of the Lord, and yet they have gone out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations, wherever they went. Therefore say to the house of Israel, Thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it, and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your field, so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. Not for your sake do I do this, says the Lord God. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. So what I'm trying to get at with this scripture is that God saves, and everything that he does is for his glory, for his name's sake, so that all the world will know that he is God. And that here the nation of Israel, once they had been scattered throughout the nations, were profaning the name of God. And God says, But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations wherever they went. So in order to show the other nations that he is God, to show his power, to show to show who he is to the other nations, and not to profane his name, then God brought Israel back to their country and caused them to remember their evil ways and to be repentant. So likewise, as we need to continue in our repentance too, so that we don't cause or profane the name of God around other people, unbelievers. Okay, so as God gives new life and cleanses people, he brings them to remember their sins and to hate their sins and to repent. And God does this out of his own mercy for his own glory. God changes the lives of men for his glory, that his name may not be profaned. Okay. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, look at verses 8 through 10. We're going to look a little bit at sorrow for sin again. For even if I made you sorry with my letter, this is Paul writing to the Corinthians, I do not regret it, though I did regret it, for I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. So we have to really look at ourselves too. It's one thing to understand what sin is in our mind, and we know that we commit the sin, but if we're not sorry for the sin, then there's something not changed in our heart. Okay? Then there's something really wrong. We have to really search ourselves and see whether do we really love God, or are we pretending? It says, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. And this kind of godly sorrow can't be faked. It's something that God also produces in us. There's no way that you can really fake godly sorrow. It is something that when you see your sin and God makes it known to you and you feel God's hand on you, then you will feel a genuine sorrow for your sin. Let's look at Romans 3:19. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Okay, because since it's God who produces this sorrow for our sins, then something's wrong if sorrow is not produced in us when we hear the law of God. So Romans 3:19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. So as the law of God, you know, Nick has taught many times on how the law of God shows us and reveals our sin to us. So as we see the law of God, that we will become guilty before God. Not only feeling guilty, but it shows us our actual guilt of how we have actually sinned. Now also I want to look at the point of how repentance is to be preached to the sinner. I think there are some churches and some people, Christians, who believe that when you preach the gospel, you just simply preach the love of God and the love of Christ. You shouldn't preach repentance. But all throughout the Bible, repentance is preached, and it shows that we are to preach repentance. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. It says, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. So here we see that we're commanded in Scripture to warn the wicked to save his life, to warn the wicked to turn from their evil ways to save their lives. But if you do not warn them, then their blood is on our hands. But if we do warn them and they don't turn from their wickedness, they'll die in their sins, but we have delivered our own souls. In other words, we're not responsible for them if they do not turn from their wickedness, even though we have warned them. So we are commanded to warn them in Scriptures.
Then James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. Repentance is to be preached to the sinner. This is among the brethren here. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. Okay, so we need to have a little application also. First of all, for encouragement. If we're true believers, we know we're going to fall into sin, but we shouldn't lose hope that that somehow we've lost our salvation or something like that.
Remember, as I read earlier, 1 John 2:1, that we have an advocate with the Father. Okay, we need to remember we are responsible to repent, but if we do sin, we have Jesus Christ, the righteous, who is our advocate with the Father. In exhortation, we must repent continually. Every day, we know we sin every day. As we do still sin because of the flesh. If we turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 14 and 15. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. Okay. So we've shown here that we do, we have, as Christians, we have a new desire to serve God. We have a new desire to want to obey God, but we do still sin. We do still fall and not always practice what we now want to practice because of our flesh.
One last and very important point that I wanted to make was that even though the scriptures tell us to, that as believers we need to keep repenting of our sins, even though we understand that, it's important not to get into the mentality of thinking that, well, we can go ahead and sin and then repent afterward, and then, we go ahead and sin and repent, sin and repent, sin and repent, and then it's the, we keep committing the same sin over and over again. It's important that we don't play games with God, and what we need to do is to really forsake our sin, which means to leave our sin behind and not continue and go back in our sin, okay, as if you read in 1 John chapter 1, so let's turn to 1 John chapter 1 once again. 1 John chapter 1, if we say, this is verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. It is very important not only to continually repent of our sins, but also we need to stop walking in our sins as well. We need to forsake our sin, and don't think that we can go and just sin, thinking that it's okay because we can repent afterward. It's not right to do it that way. That is playing games with God, and we need to make sure that we do not walk in that way. Let's pray.